It's very, very inspiring, brother.
Thank you.
Well, let's look at a little bit of the Word, and then we'll close shop here today. But we'll have some food. Everybody's probably pretty hungry yet. All right, Luke chapter 11, please. Just wanted to look at this. I looked at this a few weeks back. I don't really remember when. I think it was here in our home fellowship. But I looked at this in chapter 11, and it really has a lot to do with what we're dealing with and what our lives are really all about. Chapter 11, verse 1, it says that it came to pass that as he was praying, as Jesus Christ was praying in a certain place, it says, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. You know, teach us to pray. And he said unto them, when you pray, here's a good example. Pray like this. Say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we have also forgiven everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That was the prayer. He said, this is how you pray. Like this. Not necessarily to pray this prayer, like so many people believe, but this is how you pray. And when we just, you can consider each one of those things that he mentions and learn a great deal. Of course, when it speaks of the first thing, which is really what I want to look at, it's our Father who art in heaven. You know, who is God? Who is this Creator who dwells in heaven? He's our Father. He now is more than a Creator. He was Jesus Christ's Father. And He knew that that relationship was something that everyone needed if they were going to follow Him. They needed to understand that this God who dwells in heaven is not just an all-powerful Creator. He is that. But He is also your Father. He's our Father. And the things that He will do for His children far, far exceed the things that we could ask or think. And we can ask and think about asking a lot. But He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that. And He is our Father. He's willing to do those things. It's knowing that first and foremost when we do pray that we can begin to expect great things. We can begin to have some expectation that's more than just, well, you know, if the Father wills, then maybe I'll get over this cold. You know, that is like the virus of religion eating your brain and eating your heart. You know, that's what that is. That's what that kind of talk is. You know, God's will is plain to Him. And it's plain in heaven. That's the next thing that it brings up. You know, thy kingdom come. We want God's kingdom to reign. And we will expect that when the Lord returns. And all the things in Revelation take place, then yes, the kingdom of God is forever and everlasting, and we all get to be a part of it. We look forward to that. We look forward to that day. And then it says, thy will be done in heaven, so in earth. As God's will is done in heaven, there's no question, whenever God says something in heaven, it gets done. Whenever God says, Gabriel, I want you to go do this. He doesn't stand around and say, are you sure? Are you sure that's really what you want? He goes. Right? Michael, go fight. Do it. See, there is no question. And there really is no question for us either. And this is the prayer of a real believer. This is the prayer of the only begotten Son when He was asked, how do I pray? Teach me to pray. Well, why don't you start with understanding that this Creator in heaven is your Father? And why don't you start thinking about desiring to accomplish His will on earth? You do it. You now have the joy and privilege of bringing to pass God's will. You know, we wonder sometimes, people wonder, what's God's will? You know, well, if you ever wonder, you just need to go back and look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He always did the Father's will, right? He always did it. This answer to this prayer was the will of God. Teach them. Teach them I'm their Father. Or I will be soon, you know, at the Pentecost and all the new birth. You teach them. And that's what Jesus Christ did. You know, He always did the Father's will. And the first part of the Father's will was that He not lose anybody that was drawn to Him. Right? Now, how's He not going to do that? You know, those that are brought to God via the life of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, us. And it says, look at chapter 6 of John. This is part. He says in verse 35, we'll start reading there. Chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. What a statement is that? He that comes to me will never hunger. You know, that's a figure of speech. But it represents all that we need in life. He's the bread of life. He is the sustenance. He has provided everything for us to live and live abundantly. You'll never hunger. Oh, I'm hungry today. No. You'll never hunger for anything. And we find ourselves yet hungering to see His Word live. But that's a good hunger. Because if we hunger about it long enough, we will be filled. Because of what it says following verses. He that believes on me shall never thirst. Never. That's a big word, never. You know, a lot of times the social counselors and, you know, people that try and get you to be a better person always say, never use the word never. They always say, never use never. But they're blowing their own rule there. Never use never. I never use never. Never is a big word. Jesus Christ used it. You will never hunger and you will never thirst. That's God's will. That we never hunger and we never thirst. Anymore. Not just in the physicals. It's bigger, way bigger than that. But I said unto you, that verse 36, that you also have seen me and believed not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. You know, and that when I come down from heaven, that's figuratively representing where his authority comes from, not he himself. He was born, just like you and I are born. This is a figure representing where his authority came from, that he walked with. It came down from heaven to him. He did the will of him who sent him. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. You know, we have the ultimate promise of Jesus Christ's return. Whether we live or whether we sleep, we will all be raised. But the promise is so big. God's will here, you know, that Jesus Christ was trying to express and express very well, is so big. We'll never thirst. We will never hunger. That when we desire the things of God, He will provide them. When we take this and make it what it really is and not keep it to just filling my belly with food and making sure I have a drink of water when I'm dehydrated and realize that it's bigger than that. The will of God is that you never thirst, never hunger for His power in your life, for His grace and mercy in your life. It will always be there. Because that's the reason why He won't reject us. He won't let us fall away. If we desire, He'll be there. See, we sometimes don't have the desire. We have other desires. We don't have God as God. We have money or prestige or, you know, something else, material possessions, our jobs. Those things are our gods. But when we keep God as who He is, the Creator, and He is our Father, then we'll never thirst. You know, that's partly His will. His will is for you to never hunger, never thirst. You look at Matthew 9. That's His will. Everybody knows that in heaven. So what's the matter with us? Where have we dropped the ball? Well, I don't know, but finally found the ball and picked it up. It's called the Word of God, right? Matthew 9. Matthew 9, great record here too. We'll look at verse 35. Here's part of what He always did. He always did the Father's will. He did His meat was to do the will of Him who sent Him. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Was that God's will? If He always did God's will, then this must have been what God's will was. He went about, He taught, He preached, He proclaimed the gospel, the good news, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto them. And He healed every sickness and every disease. And then verse 36 says, but when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. They fainted. And were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You know, those that came, He saw multitudes come. He healed multitudes of people as they believed. As they believed what He taught and what He proclaimed. And He looked at them and He said, you know, they're scattered. They have no shepherd. They have no one to continue taking care of them. And He said unto His disciples, verse 37, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into this harvest. Is that not God's will? Of course it is. Nothing's changed. There's still a great harvest. Another section He says with the same type of analogy, you know, look out among the field. Look out over the field. You know, it's ready. Don't say there's 6 months yet for the harvest. It's ready for harvest now. So get out there and reap the harvest. The time to move with the things of God is right now. You know, it doesn't matter where we've come from. It doesn't matter anything from today past. It matters nothing. The past is null and void. What matters right now is where our hearts are before God. Because He is ready to bring His will to pass. We just have to be ready to do it. You know, there was a poem. I don't really remember. I have no clue as to who wrote it. But it has something to do with He has no hands but our hands. Yeah. You know, He has no feet but our feet to walk amongst the almost dead. Mm-hmm. You know, we're the ones that God has called. Every born-again believer has the power of God within them. Every born-again one. He speaks of when they asked Him to pray in Luke 11. Look at Luke 11. They asked Him to teach Him to pray. Right? And in the same context, He continues and He speaks a parable to them in verse 5. And He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, you've got to be out of your mind. You know what time it is? Trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give you anything. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Importunity is literally a word that means shameless persistence. You know, his shameless persistence. You know, he's, no, go away, leave me alone. Come on, I need you to give me something. You're my friend, aren't you? My children are sleeping. Please, you've got to help me. He says he will. He says because of that persistence, he will give him. He will rise and give him what he needs. And I say unto you, verse 9, I say to you now, okay, now we're no longer talking parables. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Are you persistent with the things that you want God to do for you, that you know are according to his will? God, I'm hungry for your power. God, I'm thirsty. Give me some opportunity. If we're persistent, he's got to provide. You know, half the time we pray for a laborer or two and then we go on our merry way. The next prayer, it's, God, why haven't you answered? The next time we communicate with our Father, it's, what's the matter with you? What's taking you so long? You know, and yet, the expectancy that we should have in our heart is, I don't care how long it takes. I don't care. Because God's got things lining up to answer my prayer. I know He will answer my prayer. Because He wants His will done right here and right now, just as much as it's done in heaven at any time. He wants it done here, right now. And the greatest part of His will is that His people live abundantly, are blessed with the things that they need, are healed and delivered of whatever is affecting them. You know, God, that's what God wants. Now it's just up to us. Do we want it? Do we want it that badly? You know, are we willing to believe God every day? The true God. The true God. Not the God that you may have set up in your own life to accomplish what you need and to answer your own prayers, but the true God. You know, are you willing to just give it to God and trust Him totally, completely? To answer His prayers. Yeah, we got to go do things. Sure we do. We live our lives. But we should every step be expecting Him to answer that prayer. And if it's along the lines with His primary will, which is, man, I don't want to lose anybody. I don't want to lose anybody that I draw to me through my Son Jesus Christ. I don't want to lose any of them. I want them all to know who I am. I want them all to know who I've made them. I want each one of them to know that they have Christ in you. It's Christ in you. It's the power of God. It's the ability to do the work that Jesus Christ did in greater. Right in John chapter 10. These things are what God desires for us. And we should desire them equally as much. John 10. Or John 14, I'm sorry. 14, verse 10. It said, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. You know, He's the one who does the works. You know, is our flesh capable of doing these things? Absolutely not. But if we have God in Christ in us, if we have been given that Spirit of God within us, which is the power of God, then just like Jesus Christ, we recognize where the power comes from. We do these things. The Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. At least believe me because of what you've seen me do. Now, you know, you think about that and you realize that there were people that watched Him perform miracles and they still said, I don't believe it. Or they said, oh, He's casting out that devil by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. He's working for the wrong side. There were plenty of people that didn't believe. It didn't stop Him from doing miracles. Because the people that come to Him with faith, with true believing, received what they needed. It's the same with you and I. The people that come to you with a need and have faith, have real true believing, will receive their deliverance. They get healed. No matter how much people think it's foolish, no matter how many movies come out mocking it. It's still true.
Hallelujah.
Amen, bro. The Lord Jesus Christ did what this record says He did. And God raised Him from the dead. No matter how many people want to mock it and discredit it and try and bring this word down to their level. You know, we refuse to do that. It's like it says in the Word, we're not going to water it down. Because we don't get any rewards for watering it down. We don't get any power and manifestation for watering it down. We get rewards in eternity for standing on this written Word. And when He says, believe me, then I'm going to say, I believe you. Not just mentally assent to it. I'm going to believe it. Verily I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do. You know, and if we have to say this to each other, every day, that's what we should be saying. Because this is what draws men unto the true God. It's the power that testifies of the risen Christ. Jesus Christ, when He was resurrected from the dead and He spent time with His disciples, He said to them, now, you go to Jerusalem and you wait. You wait for the promise of the Father. You wait for that Spirit to be given to you. And when you manifest it, then you go and you testify of me. They didn't have to wait. They could have begun speaking of the resurrected Christ immediately, but that wouldn't have been enough. It's this power and manifestation that brings people to the true God. You and I could study the written Word until we're blue in the face, and most of us have.
Been there.
And yet, we can know everything, and we can elaborately explain all these truths from the Scripture, and yet, it's not that. It's the power. When someone needs something and they really genuinely receive it via the power of God working in your life, that's what convinces people. That's what convinces people to consider, who is this man from Galilee? Who is this God that fathered him? That fathers you? You know, God desires for us to walk with that same power. And He said, the works that I do, when you believe on me, the works that I do, and greater works than these shall He do when I go to the Father. You know, greater works. The theologians want to explain that away. You know, they want to rationalize it away. Because I've never seen it. I've never seen anybody do the miracles the likes of what's written in the Gospels or in the book of Acts. And so they explain it away. But just because people don't want to believe it does not prohibit us from believing it and seeing it. Because when we believe, we see. You ask anything in my name, verse 13 says, and I will do it that the Father may be glorified in the Son. It's all about giving God the glory. It's all about that. We cannot do these things with our flesh, but God, by His grace and His mercy, has given us the privilege and the joy of walking in the steps of His only begotten Son. We walk in His footsteps. Where He went, we go. And I don't mean the physical locations. I mean the spiritual plane that He walked on. Where He walked, we walk. And when we are met with that same kind of faith, we do the same and greater. Those are the great things of God's Word. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. And this is why God's done it. It says in Ephesians chapter 1 that we should be to the praise of His glory. Verse 4 says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. We're not to blame for our shortcomings. That's the flesh's fault. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. This was God's will. And it pleasured Him to do it. Oh, it just pleased him to make us his kids. It pleased him like crazy to say, you know, Wallace Tamplin, step up and walk in the steps of Jesus Christ. You know, we're standing around going, buh. What? Wait a minute, I'm still wondering if I flossed today or not. Walk in the steps of Jesus Christ. That's what he's predestinated us to. That's his whole plan, was not just to send one that would bring his will to pass on earth, but to bring millions. Millions of people that were saying that one name, the name of Jesus Christ, and moving mountains with that name. And it all be, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace. You know, praise God for his grace. You know, everything that he ever does for us, that's why we praise God. You know, when it says in the book of Acts that they all, but at the end of that first section where it says they were all together, they're praising God and having favor with all men. You know, they praised God for the great works that God was doing in their midst, for the answers to prayer that they were getting, for the miracles that they were seeing as they just walked and they spoke and they proclaimed and they weren't afraid to say, you know, hey, this is God's will that you be delivered. And in the name of Jesus Christ, you can have your deliverance now. You don't have to go back to the doctors. You can get up on your feet and dance now. They proclaimed it and God backed it up. And it all was to the praise of God's grace for making it available. It's nothing that we've done. It's nothing that we could have saved enough money for to purchase. You know, like George said, you know, we're bought with a price. You know? No, I wasn't. Come on now. We are bought with a price. We couldn't afford it. We can afford the amount of money that God paid just for you. And if it was just one person, if it was just Lily, God would have said, pay the price. She's my Lily. Pay the price. Man, you know, we see what God has done. And we got to just kind of help each other. Step up to it. Let's step up to it. Let's not bring the word down to the level of our unbelief and doubt. Let's get up there. You know, let's say to God, you know, God, you know, if you love me as much as you do, you're not going to let this bus fall off the cliff. Or if it does, I'll be sitting while I'm watching it go down. You know, you're going to take care of me as I put myself out on a limb. You're going to take care of me. You're going to back up your word because I'm hungry for your word. You know, I could make $1 million tomorrow, but it just wouldn't seem to be all that much when I compare it to seeing someone healed miraculously. You can't give me enough money to not want to do that. There's not anything in comparison to walking with the power of God. Nothing. And if you hunger and if you thirst for that, then God is going to make it available for you. And you better be ready. You know, because there's going to be all sorts of people knocking at your door all of a sudden. Well, how'd you hear me? I don't know. Maybe I heard you preaching through the ceiling or something. You know, we have got to step it up. Step it up. Get out of the boat. Yeah. Time to get out of the boat. Yeah, the storm is raging, but the promise is walk. You know, walk. So I praise God for his grace. And I praise God for the power that he's given to us that we can walk in. You know, because he has got so much in store for us. You know. He really does. So, Father, we are certainly grateful for your blessings. Thank you for this day that we have to joy and rejoice in your grace and in your mercy. Thank you, Father, that we can see clearly what it is that you would have us to do, to go forth just like your Son did. In whatever area we're in, wherever we are, we can teach, we can preach, we can heal. And we can pray that you send more that desire to do the same. Because your word is what people need, that it's more than salvation. They need deliverance. They need wholeness. And you have that for them. And Father, that you just bring the people to us, that you put us in the same path somehow, some way, so that we can help and bless people with the greatness of your grace and your power that you've blessed us with. Thanks for a great week ahead as we anticipate all the things that you will do for us so that we never have to thirst or hunger again. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.